area to sit on. He says you're going to get bad breath as the fast goes on, so you take the tips of these fir trees, really nice and soft. He says you just chew them, you just spit them out, because your mouth is going to taste bad too, because your body's eating itself. I says, okay, so I would do that. I can still taste that fir when I'm talking about it now, fir tips. I was sitting there, and I hear something outside the lodge. Sort of like a shuffling and a snuffling. I'm sitting there, and what's that? I waited till it was gone, because it walked around outside my lodge. After it's gone, I went out, and there's black bear tracks. Came and walked around my lodge, could probably smell me, but he left. And I'm looking at nature without thinking now, and it felt so liberating. And I remembered why I was there. He says, ask for help, ask for a gift. And he left me there. So I go back to the lodge and sit and meditate. The fourth day I'm sitting there. And I could see these people sitting in a circle. They weren't really human shapes, but they were like blue lights, blue circle, blue orbs in a circle, and I was one of them. And I was singing. And I said, that's what I'm supposed to do, to be with people and to share music and sit in circle. And I felt so good because I have a purpose now. So I was sitting there and chanting. And the elder come and got me. I remember walking down the mountain, I was weeping with joy. Because now my mind has slowed down and I can see, I can smell, I could taste. So that was my I statement moment, owning my life, taking responsibility, taking accountability. Of course, there's lots that I had to do after that, lots of responsibility, lots of accountability, because remember, my mind was weak before that. So I kept working, you know, and had met wonderful people, heard wonderful words, and I just kept growing. And there was still things inside of me I needed to deal with, and I'd run across people, and we'd deal with it. Massage therapist worked on some kinks in my body that were there because I was thinking all the time about abuse. And it hurt, but it worked. Casting off ceremony with the healer where I cast off the ones that abused me. Said they were still in me, so I threw them away. And it worked. Then I met this other one in Vancouver. This one was a master. People called him a master. He was a Zen master from Taiwan. And I was reading the Vancouver Sun, and it said Master so-and-so is coming to Vancouver, to Richmond. And he's giving a presentation, a talk at this hotel, and it's free. So I said, I'm going to go. Because I started reading Zen books as part of helping my mind. And it said that a master is someone that can transform you with words. So I said, I'm going to be transformed by this master. Big expectations. So I went, And I registered. I went to their registration, and the young lady says, "You speak Taiwanese?" I says, "No." And she says, "The master only speaks Taiwanese." I says, "Oh." I was going to leave, and she says, "But don't worry. There's these, they had these, like, earphones there." She said, "There'll be interpreters. So you turn this on, then you'll hear the interpreters interpreting what he's saying." I says, "Oh, good." So I take them, and for the first time since elementary school and high school, I went to the front of the room, sat in a chair right in front where the master's going to sit. No hesitation, because I wanted to be transformed. So I went up there, put on my headset, sitting there waiting. Then I hear these drums and cymbals, and eventually I can smell incense. And the master is being escorted in by these other monks with shaved heads and robes. And they're playing these instruments, and one's carrying this like a smudge bowl. Oh, it smells good. And they come in, you know, and they're, he gets up, and they have a place for him to sit on cushions, no chair. They got flowers around him. And he sits there. I remember he's sitting there, he's sitting straight, looking around. He's got clear eyes. And he laughs, looking at us. Say, "Oh." So he starts talking, and he says, he does a presentation about reincarnation. He said, "I've been wondering how to explain this to people." And he says, "I finally got away." So he was explaining it to us like water, he says, how it can change. When it gets cold, it'll turn to snow, turn to ice, turn to steam, like a cloud. He says, "That's like the human spirit. It'll change to dimensions." So that was a good presentation, but it didn't transform me. So I'm sitting there waiting. Of course, thinking, I'm not going to get transformed today. Then he tells a story. This young man trying to find answers, trying to find a reason for living, a purpose. What's it all about? The same way that I thought for years and years and years, and still was thinking like that. And he says, "Yeah," he says, so he asked a master, this Buddhist monk. He says, "Can you teach me?" The master looks at him and says, "Yes, but you'll have to come and live with me. You're going to have to shave your head and wear the robes, even if you're not becoming a monk. You have to live like me if you live with me." So the young man says, "Yeah, okay." He was desperate. So he got his head shaved and they put robes on him. He says, "Now we have to walk to my temple." So it's days walking. And he's, as they're walking, he says, "When you live with me, there's no tobacco, no alcohol, no drugs, no women. Because you're there to look at yourself and learn about yourself." And he says, "Okay, we have nothing to do with those." So they're walking, and it's raining. And they come to this village, and there's a river there. It's a wide, shallow river. And there's a ferry, but it's parked on the other side of the river. And the ferryman's not there. He must be eating or something. And there's this gorgeous, beautiful young woman standing there looking across the river with this umbrella. The master goes up to her and says, "Would you like me to carry you?" And she gets startled and looks at him and sees he's a master and says, yeah, okay. So he hitches up his robes and ties them up and you see his legs and picks up this woman and holds him close to his chest. And he carries her across the river and she's hanging around his neck laughing and they're talking. And the young man's watching, says, we're not supposed to have anything to do with women. You know, the master puts her down, comes back and he says, okay, let's go. So they walk for a couple more days, get to his temple. And they're there. So he's got chores, you know, he's doing what the master says, you know. And 6 months later, he goes to the master and says, I'm not changing. I'm not, it's not working. The master looks at him and he says, what's on your mind? And the young man looks at the master and says, Master, 6 months ago you picked up that beautiful woman and you said we're not supposed to have anything to do with women. And the master puts up his hand and says, you mean you've been carrying her this long after I put her down? We, of course, in the crowd, just sort of laughed. The young man and the master there in Richmond puts his hand up and he says, 6 months, not bad. He says, some people carry for years, some all their life, they don't put down things that their minds are cluttered. And I was transformed. I have to put down a residential school. I have to put things down. Leave them there. So that was the master. So I started then to let go, to forgive. My first big forgiveness were the British, because I hated the British because they colonized. They were our colonizers. The colonizers they sent over were Maine or like all colonizers, I guess. They're doing their job. Complete political and economic control over my people. Even tried to kill us. So I didn't like their accent. I didn't like anything about them. So we're going to England. I said, I better practice what I preach. Heal, I need to forgive. I need to let go. So I done a ceremony at Buckingham Palace, forgave the Queen and the Brits, thanked them for cleaning up the River Thames, for outlawing modified foods, you know, for the good things they were doing. Then I went to Italy and forgave the Roman Catholics, which was a tough one. But I did. Forgave them. Because the word forgive means to let go. Not carry it. So I freed myself. Then I went to Seville. And I went to the room where, no, this is a different place where I went. Anyways, where, Queen Isabella hired Christopher Columbus to go to the Americas. So I went to that room where they agreed and I let them go. I remember as I was doing it, I was thinking of how when Christopher Columbus landed, it's like he opened our Pandora's box for indigenous people. Let out the negativity that we didn't have before. Addictions to alcohol, you know, abuse, all of those things that we started, poverty in our own land. So I forgave him too. Then I went to Seville, where he was buried, done a ceremony there. So, as I was doing that, what I started to do, like when I sing hand drum, it's like a total expression now. I used to be so worried people would think I'm singing funny or I'm doing it wrong and stuff. I don't anymore. I just sing as I became free. Love to dance, to move, to go out into nature, to hear people making music, to hear speakers talking, people with a wonderful sense of humor. So, and away I washed my brain of the negativity. But there was one more man that helped me, and that was, you know, about the forgiveness part. Old Chinese man. I was at a Crimes Against Humanity conference at UBC. So there are Holocaust survivors, the sex slaves in Japan, genocide in South America, and different speakers. And I was feeling, I said, I'm losing hope and faith in humanity here. I got to hear something good. The 3-day conference. The last speaker was this Chinese man. And he walked up to the podium with two canes and his interpreter. And he gives his name and the name of his village and he points at his legs. He says, I have the rotten leg disease. It'll never get better. He points at his legs and he says a statement that transformed me. He said, the evil Japanese done this to me. I was sitting there in my mind, I was saying, the evil Christians hurt me. The evil white people hurt me. So it stopped me from generalizing, but being more accurate, being more precise. So there were masters that transformed me with words and with their stories, their life, their experiences. So I started to become consistent, didn't stop with ceremony, burning smudge, sweat ceremony, going to longhouse, going to healing circles. Started to follow the traditional teachings. And, you know, started using the medicines. Now I got aniseed, sweetgrass, different medicines around me. And I use them. My drum, my rattles, you know, my voice. And I remember one ceremony that really melted me, I guess. Because of probably the most difficult part, memories to eradicate, were about the residential school. So I started working for a residential school, provincial residential school service, doing being a workshop facilitator. So we do these workshops in communities. And one of the ways we're helping the survivors, we called it a welcome home ceremony and a birthday party. So I would tell the people in the community in the hall, I said, I want all the survivors to go outside the hall. And I said, I'm going to talk to the ones in here. So the survivors would go out. And I'd talk to the ones in the hall and I'd say, The survivors, more than likely, were never welcomed home. So we're going to form two lines and we're going to walk down that. And you're going to shake their hand, give them a hug, give them a message about coming home. And I said, and after we're all done, we'll have a circle. And then we're going to have a birthday party. There's a great big cake there. And we're going to sing happy birthday. Because I know when I went to residential school, there's no birthday parties. Because there's so many of us. So I was doing that in one of my Statlium communities. And one of my aunties was there. I walked into the hall and she says, "Welcome home, Jerry. You're okay now. The school's not with you anymore. You're home." And I remember I started weeping. I was surprised at how touched I was. So we can make up ceremony to help people to heal. So it's all about, you know, for me it was about, I'm going to stop hurting now, I'm going to look for healing, I want to live. I want to be good, I want to be a good man, I want to be a good person. I started to be empowered, which means to take my power back because people took it on me. Now I can change. Every day I heard that teaching, every day you wake up, you can change. So I started to change. I changed how I eat. You know, I stopped doing drugs and alcohol. I stopped swearing. You know, I stopped being negative. You know, I wanted to be positive all the time. I wanted to be a part of the solution. I wanted to be part of exciting things. I'd say, let's be cutting edge. Let's make something really beautiful. So I started to choose to be positive, to choose to be around positive people, and to help people that are struggling through ceremony or talking to them or just being there. Because I was taught, elders were saying, be careful and sincere with your words when you're talking to people. Don't be swearing and calling people down. Be careful. And above all, be sincere. Mean what you're saying. Don't play with words. Be careful. One auntie said, you know, your tongue can be like a knife. It'll cut that person. It'll cut their soul. Don't do that. The elder told me, You talk to yourself and say, each day I get stronger. They were laying teachings at my feet, how to be a good human being. So I took control of my life. You know, this is about strong mind. So I don't know what people would say about me if I suffered from anxiety or depression or PTSD or whatever. But I'm telling you what happened and what it was doing to me and what helped me out of it. Chilch. Let it come to an end. Don't carry that negativity. Put it down. The ceremony people will take it and put it where it won't hurt anybody again. That's their intent. That's what they're trying. That's what they work at. That's what they're doing. So it's, you know, I was PILP after the education experience. I was lost. Didn't know where I was going. Didn't have any idea. Didn't think it was anywhere for me. But after, I said, I need help. I want help. I admitted it. The help showed up. The workshop facilitator for Indian is from South Dakota. the master, you know, the elders, the ceremonies, you know, it all starts showing up. Not all at once. When I put the energy out there, I need help. And started to show up. So that's what I'd like to leave with you. Each day you wake up, you can change. Must be intentional. You must be sincere. Don't be afraid to look for help, to ask for help. But even just saying, I need help in your mind, seems like it opens the door to healers to come into your life, teachers, masters. So that's what I'd like you to do, because we're born with a strong mind. It's the memories and the people that hurt us. It's what we carry. We must put them down. Of course, there are some of our relatives that are unfortunate to have serious mental health problems, but we must also help them, support them. But for most of us, it's a trauma. I call it post-colonial stress disorder. I refuse to let colonization rule my life. I refuse to let residential school rule my life or racism. Free myself. Free my mind. Those negative memories. Open my mind to positivity. That's my path now. That's my road. So you chilch to, you let it come to an end. And I wish you the best. You know, I was singing before I started, and I was thinking of the Williams Lake survivors, singing for them. And for myself as a survivor. So strong mind is there. You just need to exercise it and to cleanse it, brainwash the negativity. I know I'm saying it sounds so easy. It's not. It took me years and it took effort, but it was worth it. So I'd like you to encourage you to think of getting some brainwashing for yourself, which means freeing yourself, washing out, getting rid of the negativity, learning to be positive. So I'd just like to thank you again, and like to thank my crew that helped me get these in the air, you know, and wish you the best for this year that's here now. Days are getting longer. COVID is still here, but the more we listen and the more people that listen, we will beat it. This too shall pass. So you have a good year. Bye.
He could be 30. He could be 50. Life has aged him beyond his years. A shopping cart carries everything he owns. Here he comes, toward you. What you think you know about how he got here is probably wrong. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain, BC, we are CJSF 90.1 FM, and we are diverse, independent, and yours.